I want to celebrate the leadership I was with, the venerable yesterday, am I right? Yes. And, okay, that is here too. So, can we please celebrate the leadership for giving us room for this conference? I also want you to celebrate yourselves for being here. I trust the Lord that in the few sessions we will have together, your lives will shift in the name of Jesus. You know, when God begins to speak, I've started ministry. We're going to pray, but I've started ministry. When God begins to speak, can I move? Okay. So when God begins to speak, there is the possibility of thinking that God only speaks to inform. And so if you are in this meeting, there are many things I'm going to say. You may think that I only came to communicate information, things that are good enough for your books. However, if you have been a student of scriptures, you will have found out that when God began to speak in the beginning, in the very first chapter of scriptures, the book of Genesis, God did not speak to inform, he spoke to create. It means that at the end of the speakings of God, there is an expected reality, and it's the reality of newness. A basic principle is the reality of change. So if God tells you to stand up, he's not informing you essentially about a new posture. It means that there is something that will happen to you if you comply with that instruction. Are you with me? So I want our hearts to be open to everything that will be said. Hearing is great, but doing is what brings change. I'm going to say that again. I'm being very petty like this because of our younger ones. If I run the way I normally run, they may not understand me too well. But I teach 7-year-olds too. I pastor a particular primary and secondary school in Ogbomosho. And sometimes, you know, people wonder how those children operate, because many of them are already filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of them lay hands on the sick and they get to, and it was because they were taught that they should do that. So I'm going to be as petty as possible and trust the Lord to be able to break in upon us. However, my entrance word is that during this conference, not just my session, I believe that if what God said was advance, the end of every statement is to move us into another place of existence. And I trust him that he will fulfill the intent for this meeting. If you have your Bible so that we can pray, please come with me into Deuteronomy chapter 2. I was not given any anchor scripture, so tonight I will speak on the subject, the strategies for advancement. Just 4 strategies and will be done for this session. Deuteronomy chapter 2 from verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Okay, maybe you should join me in 20 minutes. So don't play. Just what, go on your wristwatch. Once it's 20 minutes, you can join me, so that at least I will have found my rhythm. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Ye have compassed this mountain And for the purposes of this conference, this mountain can be anything. It can be a spiritual mountain. It can be a physical mountain. And when I speak of physical mountains, it can be an association at a level. It can be a relationship. It can be an academic mountain. It can be a professional mountain or a vocational mountain. It can be a financial or economic mountain. But God is saying, you have been moving, but you have been moving in circles. Now he's saying, go northward. It means that you need to move differently so that you can advance. It's a simple prayer, maybe just 2 minutes. As I teach, we will stop to pray, because I believe that prayer is supposed to thrive on understanding. You see, there's a kind of prayer that the generation that is coming immediately after us pray. We are not surprised that they pray so much and their lives are not changing, because the prayer has no fellowship inside it. The will of God is that we relate with him with understanding. I've been married for 3 years, thereabout. And I understand that it's not love that sustains a marriage. Because sometimes you just feel like being all by yourself. I still do. What keeps you in the marriage is that you are committed and that you understand. The average believer does not relate with God with understanding. So he just thinks, if I've done my part, I should just walk away. God sorts his rest. And it's not true. Because the kind of things that are ahead of the body of Christ in the years that are coming will only leave men who have understanding on their feet. Every other person will be swept off. Are you with me? You know, it's easy to come to church now. When carrying a Bible becomes criminal, because if we live long, we will get there. Are you with me? Okay. Many of you have not been listening to me. This is how I preach. If you live long, a time will come when you will be threatened if you carry a Bible. We will not be free forever. And if you don't prepare yourself for that day in which you will not be free, it will be easy to compromise. You know, if you don't know why you are following God, and you were just cajoled to follow him, it means in the day that they put a gun to your head, you will deny him. Understanding is what will keep you. Are you with me? So, as we journey in the teaching, we will pray at every new level of understanding that we get to. That way, our communion in prayer can be tangible. I pray a lot too. If you had called me for a prayer conference, I can pray from morning till night. But let's go this way. So our prayer is a 3-minute prayer, and our brother on the keyboard will join us for that prayer. We want to ask the Lord that tonight, not tomorrow, but tonight, the cycles that we have journeyed in will break, and that will pick new directions. You can begin to pray. It's a simple prayer. Why is the brother praying? So just stay at that very low volume and journey with us. Change your song too. Motion is possible in cycles, but tonight God is saying there is a direction, and that direction is northward. I want to ask of the Lord that he will break these cycles. Let the cycles break. Those repeated patterns, rising and falling, fellowship and out of fellowship, relevance and loss of relevance. We ask of you tonight that the cycles will break. Oh, kabo suma sabalata bikabada, batabreki savisata, but maybe no tetusiata. Cause the cycles to break. Let everything that allows me to move but keeps me in the same location lose its hold tonight. Meshata mamotenda sita babata. Ratama sumbe da babata shiti biote. in the name of Jesus. Oh, it breaks. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. So, Father, tonight we ask of you that amongst the many things you will do tonight, we ensure that the cycles that we have journeyed, spiritual, physical, will break. Let that which has kept us moving without the reality of change, let it lose its hold upon our lives tonight. You have gathered us to advance, and advance we will from tonight. We receive your word with understanding. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Do I still have 2 hours? They're about to go to. So, you may be seated. Are we recording? Good. All right. So, you can play, but reduce your volume. Reduce it very well so that only 2 of us are hearing. I began my reading tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 2. And every time I go into scriptures, because the average person who studies the Bible has not academically acquired the skills of biblical interpretation, it is good to always give a background so that people can come into what you are doing. I'm saying this because I'm trying to do many things at the same time, bring the energies of God to ensure that as we prayed, God answered, bring spiritual understanding. But I also feel that because it is a youth meeting, we have to equip those that we are leading to know how to administer the things that are sacred to us. Israel, by the mercies of God, had departed from Egypt. And as they journeyed through the wilderness, if you had viewed them maybe from an aeroplane, seeing them come out, 3 million men, they came across an obstacle, if you have been reading scriptures, that was referred to as the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, there was an obstacle before them, and they could not return back to Egypt because there was an army behind them. There was one man in that army who, by the many encounters that he had with God, in the journeying company, who already understood how to undo obstacles. The man's name was Moses. So when Israel began to cry out to God because of the obstacle that was before them and the army that was behind them, the Bible said, God said to Moses, don't cry out to me. You have a tool in your hand. Stretch your rod and split the sea. It means that every time we obey God in initiating movement, like we will during this conference, obedience to God does not remove from our lives the possibilities of obstacles. So that God said advance does not mean that there will be nothing in front of you. The instruction of God to advance, I'm saying in more practical times, does not mean that every door in front of you is open. In advancement, you will have to deal with closed doors. In advancement, you will have to cross rivers that do not have bridges. In advancement, you will need to climb mountains without a helper. In advancement, you may need to get down into valleys. You may need to walk through mud. We have not come to announce that because God said advance, then it is going to be easy, because the command does not come with that kind of a promise. Is somebody getting me? However, there's something that I often say, and I've been saying it a lot in the last few weeks because of the toughness of times generally in our nation, that challenges in the life of a man are not only an opportunity to call God to help you. Every challenge is a gate of spirit introduction. It means there are some ways in which we never know God.
if you don't have a problem. Are you with me? So God, when we get into trouble, prayer offers us the privilege of bringing God into the problem so that the problem can be solved. But that problem is also a gate into knowing God in another way. For example, one of our praise worship leaders was asked in one of our services. She goes by the name Sunshine. That's not her real name anyway, but she smiles a lot, so we call her Sunshine. And I asked her in one of the services, what do you call God in prayers? She said, I call God the one who is never late. Now, if you search through your Bible, you will find out that in compiling the names of Jehovah, there is no such name for God. However, there is no limit to the names of God, because the names of God are designed to be derived from human experiences. It means that for that young lady, she had had times when time was against her and she felt her whole hope was lost. But when she cried out in prayer, beyond the intervention, God also came and ensured that even though time was short, there was an intervention. She has seen God act that way again and again and again. It means that if she has a deadline at 6 o'clock and the time is 5:59, she will not be afraid. Because by experience, she has come into the introduction of God in a particular way. I'm still trying to chronicle Moses, because we need Moses a lot. Then we need Abraham. So Moses speaks to God and the obstacle is undone. He stretches his rod, the Red Sea splits, and the Bible says to us that they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. What it means is that the waters rolled back, and even the moisture that was inside the sand dried up. So, and it was at an instant. Now they walked through, but if you read scriptures, you find out that in the book of Exodus, there were many other experiences they had. There was a time they came into a plain of snakes, and because Israel sinned, the snakes began to bite them. There were places where they got to that there was no water. They got to another place that there was water, but the water was bitter. There was a time when they became very hungry. They had used up the supplies that they took out of Egypt, and then God began to give them a strange meal. Manna. Manna actually means, what is this? So they had to eat a diet that they could not define. And in my study of scriptures, I found out that if I feed you on manna twice in a day, you will start complaining. So to put them on manna for years, well, you know, we can't say it's criminal, but there was something that God was doing that we don't understand. Because manna looks like, it's like a fluffy kind of food. Children, there's something they take that looks like, it looks like cotton wool. I don't know if they take it around here. What do you call it? No, cheese ball is more solid than it. Maybe they don't sell it here. In the South, it looks exactly like cotton wool, but it's sugary. So, yeah, to something like cotton candy, yes. So if you drop it in your mouth, what makes cotton candy edible is that it's sweet. Manna has no taste. Manna tastes like fresh vegetable oil. So if that's all you put in your mouth, it means that what God was concerned with was that there was something in their stomach. They did not eat to satisfaction. It was like a bread or so. And they had to feed on that diet for many years, until one day they got angry and then they complained and said, what is this kind of thing? We want meat. And instead of allowing them to kill the cattle they had, God began to rain birds on them. And the Bible said God fed them on that diet until they ate meat to a point that they became sick. Because God was teaching a principle. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What that verse of scripture means is that what God calls food is food. I'm bringing these things in because if we say advance, we can turn this meeting to a prophetic meeting where we say, whichever place you are, advance in Jesus' name and everybody moves. There are conflicts when God tells people to advance. All of these experiences that they had were because God had instructed a transition from slavery to ownership. from suffering to ultimate enjoyment, from bondage to freedom. So if you looked at them from the sky, you saw people moving towards a promised land. But if you journey with them, you understand that their journey was a strange journey. If you had the will, you will have exited. Now, their emotions were not based on how strong they were. So that if you are driving, when you become tired, what you do is you park, you lodge in an hotel. Israel did not have that privilege. When I begin to tie everything together tomorrow morning, you will understand where I'm really going. Because they were given two tools of guidance. It was a pillar of cloud by the day, and it was a pillar of fire by the night. Am I right? If the pillar moves and you continue sleeping, you will become a victim. So nobody moved because they willed to move. Everybody moved because the pillar moved, and nobody had the power to predict when the pillar will move. So maybe you went to ease yourself at the back of the bush, and while you were easing yourself, you looked back and saw the pillar move. It means you will need to just pack up yourself and take off. Are you with me? Maybe you had walked all day and you were resting. If the pillar moves and you remain, something terrible can happen to you. So their rest time, their motion time, their current activity was not determined by themselves. If God says advance, then he will dictate the pace of the advancement. Oh, I've been working so hard. Maybe the advancement comes with a prayer demand, like I will show. I've been praying 3 hours every night for 2 years. I want to rest for 1 week. You can lose navigation. Because if the pillar only becomes visible by 3 hours every night, it means every night you don't wake up to pray. You wake up the following morning not knowing where to go to. Are you with me? So they had journeyed through all of these perils, and ultimately they got to a place that the Bible referred to as Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea is a strange place, because it was in that place that those who journeyed from Egypt for a few days were wasted because they stopped believing. It also tells us that when God instructs that a man to advance, the advancement comes with a believing requirement. It means there are things that God will say to you that in your natural senses you will not agree with. If you stop believing, you will be lost in the wilderness. And so God made a promise that everyone who heard, leave Egypt, advance to the promised land, who did not believe him, will not enter the promised land. So they were in Kadesh Barnea for upward like 39 years. That's so that everybody who did not believe died there, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. So in a congregation, when we hear the word advance, it's not everybody who hears it that makes their way into the promised land. Only the believers will ultimately end up there. And we found out that it's not everybody that comes to church that is a believer. The average person that comes to church is a sectoral believer. He believes some things and he unbelieves some other things. You will need to be a believer to end up in the place that God wants you to get into. Because when he says advance, God has two locations in view. He has your current location in view. He has your future location in view. But between your current location and your future location, there is a wilderness that is not accounted for. And if a man becomes unbelieving, he will leave his current location, but he will not arrive in the next location. So a man can be lost in the middle of nowhere. And when he is found in the middle of nowhere, if they ask him, why did you leave where you were before? He will say, God said, advance. So you can hear it, and because you heard it, you can leave, but you may not enter. So I want us to pay keen attention. Tonight is strategies for advancement. You have not truly advanced until you have arrived in the new location. You know, let me use a mundane example. Then I now get into that scripture. I'm just trying to build around it. I remember in 2002, I was matriculated to study chemical engineering. And I don't know what they do around the schools here, but they tell us to wear one kind of gown like that. I didn't think that was necessary to wear the gown because I was just exciting myself. Then they gave us an oath to read that I did not read, because a part of that oath said that anything the school says we should do, we will do. And I understand that I'm a Christian schooling in the north. There is a possibility that they tell us not to preach the gospel. I understood that as an 100 level student. So I made up my mind that I was not going to read the oath nor sign it. Anyway, we don't know where our sheets went to. Because we were many. We were over 8,000 that were matriculated. The hall could only take like 300. So the rest of us were outside. I snapped two pictures and that was all to my matriculation ceremony. I left. The reason why I didn't celebrate my matriculation ceremony is that I have history that there are many people who enter school who never graduate. And there are many reasons. Some die, some drop out because of fees, some drop out because they can't cope personally. The school also drops some people out. So, while the body of Christ celebrates matriculations, what wise men do is to postpone their celebration until they convocate. Convocation means that you came in as an undergraduate, and then now you have become a graduate. To celebrate 300 level and think that you have arrived, so at least I'm not 100 level, those destinations don't have a definition, because the last certificate you received was O level living certificate. Am I right? The next one that you receive is what? It's a BSc, a BTech, or a BA. 300 level does not have certificate. 400 level does not have certificate. At least in our school, does he have here? Do they give him photo? Okay. So it means that you are not rewarded. You are not awarded any recognition for being in the middle of the trip. If you don't finish, then you didn't start. That's why we must take our lives seriously. Now, there's one echo in this microphone that was not there before. Okay, don't worry, I'll move it to my mouth. Just take away the echo. I'm sharing these things because there are many pseudo, many false celebrations that happen in the body of Christ. For example, God says he wants to give you something. And he gives you a prayer demand. And then when you begin to sustain that prayer demand, you feel that you're better than the other person. What you should ask yourself is, what did he promise you? Did he promise you prayers or promise you a reception? If you have not received it, then you didn't start at all. Because the proof that you joined is that you have entered into a new place. So that when we begin to pray, I want us to be intentional. That, Lord, I don't just want to start and celebrate starting. It is normal to start and not end. You will need supernatural help to be able to get into the place that God has ordered you to get into. Such was the case of the children of Israel. It was 3 million men that left. But there were only two men that entered the promised land. Every other person was wasted. They journeyed, but they really did not advance, because the end of their journey was not reached. So Israel began to go in circles. They were not in Egypt. They were locked up in the wilderness. And then they found a particular mountain called Mount Seir. And because God told them to move, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 1, you will find out that it was because the word of the Lord came that Israel began to journey. They began to journey in circles. And even though it's not captured in that verse, if you study Bible commentaries, you find out that their circling around that mountain was for years. So if you woke up one day and you looked at them, they were in this position. The second day they were here, you will think that they are moving. It's like the journey of a dog. You know that a dog, if the dog had a mind, it will not think that it is bound. Because the door is just held by two hinges. It goes forward, it comes back. So when it's going forward, the door thinks it's moving. But when the door looks back, the door will find out that because of the hinge, its movement is along a particular axis. There are people in their spiritual experiences who are very strong in God today. They are the ones praying for people. After 1 month, they are asking for prayers. By the third month, they are praying for people. By the fourth month, they are asking for prayers. If you meet him asking for prayers today and you come next month, you find out he's praying for people, you will say that he has moved. You only need to show up back the third month and you find out that his journey is like a wave. A wave that has a crest and a trough. A crest and a trough. So when God says advance, the design is that your life begins to function as captured in what the Bible said about the path of the just. The Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. It means that in the journey of a man that is advancing, the design is that there is no better yesterday. So when God sees a man who has been journeying in circles, he sends him a second word. And my cry is that in this conference, we will hear God a second time. So in verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto Moses again. Now it came with a description of his motion. Moses, you think that you have been advancing, but you have been cycling. You have been journeying around the circumference of the same area. You are covering distance, but you are not entering where I have told you to go into. Now, go northward. And if you have a compass around you, you know that north is what side? It's up. It means go up. It can be spiritual, go up. It can be financial, go up. It can be relational, go up. It can be character-based, go up. God is saying there is a plane of existence that we have had that is not good for us because it's not designed for us. God is saying there is more that he has in store. And even though everybody celebrates where you are currently now, that is not what Jesus died for. There's something more. Break camp. Get into a place where you can tell yourself, this is not all that there is. I do that many times. I have never preached a sermon that I was happy with. Never. Because I found out that I have a problem. I have never been able to communicate to people the way God says it to me. There's always a gap. So there's a lot of labor. I'm not too old. In my little ministry, I have seen very few blind eyes open, very few. Very few deaf ears unlocked. I have seen quite a number of dead people raised back to life. Because everybody has a specialty. I have seen all kinds of pain go away. I have seen a lot of miracles. But there's still something inside me that tells me this is not all that there is. I have seen thousands give their lives to Christ. But I live in a city where we still have unbelievers. And I feel that what Jesus sent me to do, beyond everything I do out around the nation, is to touch that city. I know that God has done quite some things through me, but I live in a nation that, let's not even discuss Nigeria now, let's just move on. I live in a nation of many kind of strange things. Yesterday night we're sharing insecurity. Thank God that the power people decided not to continue with their strike. It would have been a national blackout. So there would have been too many shutdowns at the same time. I don't know how much you buy fuel here, But in our town, in the same town, we buy at 220, we buy at 180, we buy at 175, we buy at 195, we buy at 193. Nobody regulates how much fuel is sold again. Everybody sells at what pleases him. I feel that beyond the things that I've been called to do as a minister, God's hand must touch my nation. So I believe there is more. I have had problems that people brought, and I knew that the problem was that I didn't have the faith to see this kind of thing work. Some of them went back home crying. It bled my heart. I wish I can help this person, but here am I. It means there's more. There are even problems I hear. Somebody says, we're bringing this person to you. I say, don't bring the person. We'll pray. Sometimes God has helped, sometimes God has not. There are times I know that God is willing, but man does not have the faith. It means that there's more. Every time I go into scriptures, I find out that the meaning that same verse of scripture made to me yesterday is not what it's making to me today. It means that there's still more. If I come back tomorrow, I may understand it better. If you are alive, one of the calls that you must yield to constantly is the call to advance. Because the gift of life is a gift of advancement. Amen. Sorry I'm burdening us, putting burdens on our backs. But it's to say to us that earth has not seen the best of you. You have stayed with your current celebration because you may not know that God has something greater for you. There's so much more. Can you whisper to your neighbor, God says, go not what? Say like a preacher. God says, go not words. That's a commissioning for advancement. And so before we come to the strategies, I want to look at the two broad classes of advancement on a personal level. Are we still doing that our night thing? Not our night meeting. Are we still doing it? Okay. So a little bit later, my second session, I will begin to speak on kingdom advancement, and I'll round up with that tomorrow, and then we'll pray a lot more, trusting the Lord to use the energies of the Spirit to move back whatever oppositions are before us. I want you to have this at the back of your heart as we journey tonight. Like I said, every call to advancement will ultimately bring a man into a place where he faces obstacles. But when God calls you to advance, know that external obstacles are not as strong as the internal obstacles. You will be your greatest enemy in the day God calls you to advance. If you can solve the personal issues that you have that debar your advancement, then there is no obstacle in front of you that you cannot break through. The story I just told us about the children of Israel reveals that the Red Sea was not as strong an obstacle as their unbelief. Are you with me? It was the believing man who unlocked it. The water at Marah was not a problem. Being fed with manna was not as strong a problem as their problem of obstinacy. Those that died when they fed from, worshipped the golden calf. The problem was not a Moses that was lost. It was a heart that was attached to a visible leader. So it was more of a heart problem that did not allow many of them enter the promised land. It was not an obstacle problem. There was a way out of the Jordan. There was a way out of the Red Sea. There was a way out of the wilderness. The plague of serpents had a solution already in God. The problem is the man. So every time you hear the word advancement, ensure that you solve the issues, personal issues. Don't give the responsibility to witchcraft. I know witches are strong, but they are cheap. I know wizards are strong, but they are cheap. I didn't read these things in a book. In our town, we deal with witches. They are not. It's not a too modern place, you know. When I saw your city from the top yesterday night, it was well lit. Ogbomosho is not like that. Many times, if there's no power supply, our streets are dark. Our governor is just managing to put a few street lights. I'm saying that your city is more beautiful than our own. So the witchcraft in our city is more primitive. If they threaten you in the dream, and I've had personal encounters, they threaten you in the dream, and you overcome them, they will walk up to you daytime. And I've had those experiences. So we'll do this thing to you if you don't stop this thing. And then we'll warn them not to do it. But if they insist, you give them a timeline that they will leave. Well, no witch has fallen by my hand, at least that I know. They always come back to say, we are sorry, and then the fight stops. So I'm saying that to the one that is redeemed, there is power in darkness, but they are not in the class of the believer. Your greatest obstacle will be you. It can be around unbelief, or it can be around your unwillingness to come to terms with the responsibility that will make your advancement possible. Because if you sit, you will not advance. Every call to advancement will cost you. And if you do not pay the price, you will celebrate hearing, but you will not be able to celebrate achievement. Amen. So, when God begins to say advance on a personal level, there are broadly two kinds of advancement that He may be calling us to. One is spiritual advancement, and the other one is physical advancement. Both of these kinds of calls have indexes by which we can fully understand what God is saying that we should do. For example, in spiritual advancement, there are two kinds of growth of index. One is spiritual growth, the other one is spiritual development. So when God says advance spiritually, which I believe will be one of the byproducts of this conference, it is a call to advance in growth and in development. Growth is an advancement in nature. Spiritual development is an advancement in activity. Are you with me? So if I say advance in spiritual development, it means if you have been praying for 5 minutes, start praying for 10 minutes. If you have been studying the Bible only once a week, we expect that you should increase studying time. Are you with me? If in 1 year there's only one person you lay hands on and the person is sick, we expect that by the following year you should be able to do two. If you don't preach to anybody at all, which is an activity, you don't evangelize. If the instruction is to advance in spiritual development, we expect that you preach to more and you will have fulfilled the demand. If probably your capacity to see into the realms of God was only locked into your dream, and we say that you should advance in spiritual development, it means that your sight will be stronger than dreams. You may transit from dreams into open visions, so that as all of us are just looking, not sleeping, it could look as though a screen dropped and then you began to see things. It may also mean that the one who has been dreaming and been going around looking for interpretation will now dream and be able to interpret. Are you with me? So spiritual advancement along the lines of development is the ability to increase in activity or do your activities better than you used to do them. However, there is another index for spiritual advancement, which is what we call spiritual growth. And I said spiritual growth is nature sensitive. Come, my brother. Come, come. I like object teaching. What's your name? Come, just come now. Don't be afraid. It is I. Abi. So just stay with me. What? I know you need to cut the name short. Chimeri. Chimeri. Good. So this is Chimeri, and it's my brother. You're my friend today. If we want to measure your growth, maybe height, for example, we need to find a generally accepted standard of measurement, e.g. a meter rule. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
So we'll now put to stand here. Good. So we'll now put the meter rule on your body. So this should be like 1 meter. It should be maybe like 1 point. Let's assume it's like 1 meter, maybe 1.6 meters. It should be about 1.5 thereabout. Let's say that's his height. If we want to check if he's growing after 2 years, what we will do is bring back that same meter rule and compare. Are you still getting growing though? People like me are fixed. Okay, I think so. So let's assume that in 2 years it should be this height. We will still argue your growth if we don't bring back the measurement tool. So it was 1.5, now it is 1.9. So you're almost 2 meters. We'll say you are growing. If there is no standard measurement tool, then growth cannot be measured. So it means spiritually, when God says advance in growth, it must be with the consciousness of a standard measuring tool. Thank you, my brother. And that standard measuring tool is a person. It's not a meter rule. It's a person. The standard measuring tool for spiritual growth is a person called Jesus the Christ. So every time somebody says, I'm growing spiritually, what we do is compare your life with the life of Jesus. If we find out that when we checked last time, or between last time and now, you look more like Jesus than the last time we checked, it means you are growing. I don't mean you are praying more. That's development. We know that Jesus will not tell a lie. When we checked last year, you averaged about 4 lies in 1 day. When we checked right now, we found out that you have gone from 4 lies per day to 14. It means that your claims to looking like Jesus is false, so you are not growing. You can be in church for 50 years and still be a toddler in the faith, because the unit of measurement is a person. The more you are like Jesus, the more you are growing. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that should be verse 29, it says, for those that he had foreknown, he had predestined that they should be conformed. The word conformed is changed and made to fit into the image of his son, so that his son, Jesus, will be the firstborn amongst many. So our growth process is a continuous process of change, and we fit into. We change and we fit into. So if you are changing but you are not fitting into, it means you are not growing. The proof that you are knowing God more in advancement is that you are becoming like him more. There are many new growth indexes that we have, you know, people have invented as young people. For some people, is how many angels have you seen this year? For some people, is how long can you pray? No. If it does not end up with you becoming more like Jesus, then it is not referred to as growth. So it's a good time for all of us to check to see if we are truly advancing spiritually. Because if you are not advancing spiritually, your physical advancement may not be sustained. I'll read a verse of scripture to you. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let me read this verse of scripture. In 3 John, it has only one chapter. Let's read verse 1 and 2. the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Next verse. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. The word prosperity there can be substituted with the word advance. That thou mayest advance and be in health. How? The prosperity of the soul has to do with its growth and development after the order of the Christ. So John, who is called the elder, is also John the beloved, was saying to Gaius that I wish above everything that happens to you. Gaius, you can buy 10 cars in 1 year. Gaius, you can have 3 new companies. You can build 4 new houses. But above those things, I have a wish for you. Is that you will advance, you will prosper, and be in health, just as your soul advances. So the advancement physically is designed to be tied to a spiritual advancement, because our world is a world of men, but it is governed by spirits. If you are not spiritually advancing, it means the advancement you make in the physical realm can be disrupted by a spirit. Are you with me? I schooled in the north, and there's this technology that people who sleep in the night can use to pass an exam in the morning. Well, how many of these sons of the born women in our class? And while we are reading for maybe chemical engineering calculations or chemical engineering thermodynamics, they don't come to class to read in the night. When they come to class during the exams, if you are casual and you don't know how to keep your hands in your pocket, you are the kind that always shakes people around. They have a data transfer technology that they can use to take from you what you read in the night. So that when you meet them, you just see him and say, ah, Salim, how now? You shake him. When you get to the exam, everything you read moved when you last shook hands. So you can be crying, you can be wondering, what I read. Immediately after the exam, many of them will look for that original person and shake hands with him again. Then you hear this testimony. Ha! And I know it too. But I could not write it because they moved it, they restored it by a spirit. When you read, you came out thinking that you had changed position. You were more knowledgeable. But what you got by spending the whole night can be moved by a spirit. If your spirit is not advanced, then your physical advancement will ultimately be the subject of the activity of a spirit. That's why we must grow in the spirit. I'm saying, if you are selling tires, if you are teaching in school, if you are selling bonds, you must know a spirit. Because you can make the money and bring it into the house. There are people who don't labor around. All they do is that they move money. There was a case that they told me about 2 years ago, and I'm not trying to scare you. Someone who sells very well in the city of Ibadan, and every time he brings money into his safe in 1,000s, he sells tires. When it comes back, every 1,000 note has become a 10 naira note. Not in his dream, physically. So if you put a bundle of 100,000, when it comes back, what does it mean? It means 1,000 naira. It will still be a bundle, but it's now 10,000 bundle. Now, will you say it's not hardworking? Will you say it's not favored? To be, at least if there's no money to convert, the spirit will stop activity. He makes money, but it will not show that he's making money. Now, how many people does he want to tell? Because when I said it now, you'll be thinking that maybe I watched Nollywood and I came up with a story. We must advance in the spirit. The time has passed when only people who preach must pray. Everybody must have a robust prayer life. Everybody outside preaching must study the Bible. Not to cram the verses, but to know the God of the Bible. Because the Bible says with flattery, he will corrupt those who have done wickedly against the covenant. But they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. This world is the world of the strong. And if you do not know your God, you'll be weak. So that if you don't know Jehovah, you must know Amadioha. Unfortunately, those who are studying Amadioha are more diligent than those who are studying Jehovah. Because if Amadioha shows up and Jehovah shows up, you know who will win. Amadioha will even quickly say that I'm not a God. But it is possible for someone who serves an entity that is lesser God to prevail over the one who serves the one who is God. Because he knows more about his God than we who serve the true God know about him. Can I ask a question? What investment, personal, if you're, as you're under the sound of my voice, are you putting towards increasing your knowledge of God? What personal investment? If our Bibles are just morning devotion Bibles and coming to church Bibles, then we'll be weak. Oh, devotions are not designed to produce strong men. They're supposed to teach us discipline in loving scriptures. A man who wants to mature in the word of God, after devotion, we still sit down. How can you want to know God and know him in 30 minutes when you have 24 hours? Are you getting my point? There must be something outside the normal. The students who sit in class and listen to what the lecturer is saying are not the ones that pass. The ones who pass are the ones who, after regular class, go to sit down and study. Am I saying something? Unfortunately, people think that God can be fully known within a congregation. No, you will find a private path. And on that private path, you will collide with him. Because no sane man gets naked in public except his mouth. Even God cannot be intricately known if all you know about him is in the public. Show us mercy, Jesus. If you're not picking too much from what I'm saying, I want to leave a weight in your heart that it is possible that the reason why you sense obstacles this strong is that there is a knowledge you have not come into. A knowledge that was not reserved for a church service. A knowledge that can only happen in the secret. Thank God for church. But many of the things that give weight to my spiritual life are the things that I stumbled on as I was praying personally, when I was preaching personally. Because when you accepted Jesus, you must have called him your personal Lord and Savior. Am I right? The question is, how did a personal Lord become a public Lord? Why did you stop pursuing him personally? My brother, it means that there is a name that God will mention to you. That is his name that he will never tell me. And when the jungle matures, that's the word we use. When darkness comes, it is that personal name that will be your bailout. Oh, Paul was speaking to the church, the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 3, that's verse 10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And in my study, I found out that the book of Philippians was not the first book that Paul wrote. He had written many books. How can a man who has written Romans and written 1st and 2nd Corinthians, written 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, because those portions of scripture, those epistles were not arranged in the order of writing. How can, after writing about 8 epistles, come back and say that I may know him? He didn't even say that I may know him more. It means Paul felt that everything that he had found was not to be compared to what was yet to be found. So he was not asking for graded knowledge. He was saying, just open me up to you again. If we will advance, we will know him. Because the difference between Moses as the solution provider and the children of Israel as the miracle celebrants is captured in Psalms chapter 103 verse 7, that the same journey can produce two different kinds of people. The Bible said he made his ways known unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel didn't know God's names. They didn't know how he worked things. They only cried when there was a problem, and a man brought solutions. In advancement, one of the calls of God over our lives is that we must leave the place of looking for answers into the place of giving people answers. It was to that end that we were saved. Every one of us is designed to be an answer provider because we know him. That's the design. If you don't believe me, Jesus describing his followers like we are, in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. Light is an answer. Because if it becomes dark here now, and we switch on a bulb, even if it's just the backlight of your touch of your phone, it lights up this place. It means the smallness of light does not take away from it its reality as being a solution provider. Everybody will move with ease in this place. If a little light comes, it can even be the light of a matchstick. You can be small, but God wants you to bring answers. That's the kind of church that Jesus died for. Not the one that sees God as a customer care executive. You know, in customer care, MTN, for example, you load recharge card and then it doesn't reflect. You don't have a personal relationship with the customer care person. The only thing is, I have a problem. What's your problem, sir? I know that 1,000 naira recharge card is not reflecting. Solve it. He says, give me time. If it doesn't answer you on time, what do? You call back again. He says, I'm working on it. Say, I'm not seeing anything here. Get it done. Immediately he gets it done, the average Nigerian will not say thank you. And that person loses relevance until you load credit again. And it's not entry. That defines the relationship between the average Christian and God. That God only finds relevance when there's a problem. So you don't know the name of the customer care executive. Because you need a relationship beyond problem solving to know the person's name. You don't know if the person is married or not. Am I right? You don't know if they have children. There are people who come around us in church and say, how many people know me? They say they know me. I say, okay, what's my full name? Yeah. I want to. Some people don't even know that Tolu is my name. They just say Reverend T. So I say, what's the T? And there are many Yoruba names that start with T. It's Tolu, there's Tola, there's Stude, there's Tope, there's Tomi. So they assume names for me because there's no relationship strong enough to be able to take away the covers from me and know who I really am. There is a call in this conference. God wants men to advance beyond their current place of spiritual expression into a greater place, because there's a lot more in God. If you stay at the bank of the waters where you can just play with your leg, you will find out that the Christian experience is boring. The Bible says they that do business in the open seas, in modern day, what we call open seas is in the deep waters. They see the wonders of God in the deep. How many of us have gone to a river before? There's no river in Enugu. It's a landlocked. Okay. If you've been to a river before, you find out that there's a quality of fish that you find at the river bank. They are small fishes, fingerlings. If you want to catch those ones, it won't cost you much. All you need is to find a hook and a line, and then you put a worm there. Whales don't get attracted by worms. They can't even see it. It means if you don't go deeper with God, you can't touch anything tangible. You will need to take the risk. And you know, at the bank, you can't get drowned. Your leg can only get wet and then you come out again. You will need to take the risk of the possibility of drowning. It means you will need to pay more to survive in that kind of dimension. But it is only in that place that you can see the wonders of God. It's not every fish, it's not every creature in the water that is straight. When you go deep, you know that some of them have, you know, the octopus has a base and then it has plenty long legs. They don't come to the shore, it's in the deep. There's a fish that is also called the starfish. It's actually the shape of a star. It doesn't come to the edge, it stays there. In the world of sharks, some of them have horns, but they don't come to the shore. It means if you stay at the shore in God, it's irregular things you'll be seeing. Small fish, small fish, small fish, small fish. Once in a while, tilapia. Once in a while, hake. If you go far, you will see the whale. And then you find out that even the whale is not one kind of creature. They are different colors. They are different sizes. Life becomes interesting when we heed to the call to spiritually advance and go far. You will understand that the things that you stored in your head are really living things. That these tongues that we speak, it's not just something to mesmerize the brother that is beside us. It's potent when you go far. You will find out that the blood of Jesus, you know, a new generation has come that does not even understand the blood. When we were small, if darkness rose in our house, my parents are, my dad is a doctor, my mom is a nurse. Many times they solve the problem by just screaming, the blood of Jesus, and change comes. The average young believer no longer knows the power in the blood because we are customer service Christians. Every Christian has a gift, a power gift that does not require anybody falling down. It's the name of Jesus, because the Bible says there is no other name given by which man can be saved. If you don't go far, you will not value the name. Can you help me tell your neighbor again? Advance. This is spiritual advancement, development along the lines of activity and the furtherance in the embodiment of the nature of Jesus the Christ, who is our measurement for spiritual growth. Now, beyond spiritual growth, where we read from in 3 John, the second verse, suggests that God also has in store for us the possibility of physical growth. You are a student, you have finished secondary school. God wants you, if you agree with him, to go into another institution. And so where there is stagnation, it is not the will of God. Oh young man, oh young lady, that when it is time to get married, we expect that you get married, and it is the will of God that advancement also happens in your life. Oh young man, you have been trekking since you were born. It is the will of God that some kind of mobility. I don't preach chasing things. But in Matthew chapter 3, verse 33 is where we commonly read. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things? You won't know what they are if you don't read verse 32. Verse 32 says, after these things do the Gentiles seek. So if you know, if you have a Gentile friend, you can sit him down and says, what are you looking for? Let him develop a list. You will find out on the Gentile list, if he's a young man, he will not write wife. He will write very beautiful wife, very beautiful children, maybe 5 cars, 2 houses, one in Enugu, the other one in Banana Island, Lagos. Or maybe another one in San Francisco. What else do you want, my friend? He can say end of year vacation to the Caribbeans. He will write many good things. These good things that the Gentiles seek, The Bible concludes that verse 32 by saying, your father knoweth that you have need of these things. Means it's not wrong to go on vacation at the end of the year. It's not wrong to have a car. It's not wrong to marry a beautiful wife. It's not wrong to have beautiful children. It's not wrong to be prosperous. But it is wrong to seek those things, because they are not core for a believer. They are additions for a believer. They are designed to be delivered as the byproduct of the kingdom, of seeking the kingdom. It's the reward for kingdom seekers. And when I speak of kingdom seekers, I'm not speaking of pastors, because there are pastors who are not seeking the kingdom. Are you with me? There are pastors who are not seeking the kingdom. Your motivation is the proof of what you are seeking. If I'm preaching so that I can get paid, it's not the kingdom I'm seeking. If I'm preaching so that I can become popular, popularity is the end, so it's not the kingdom. So when we come later and we begin to share on the kingdom, we need to define it very well, so that many people who think they are seeking the kingdom will repent. That's not the kingdom. Because the kingdom does not make people popular. It only makes God popular. God is interested in our physical advancement. And like I was saying to you yesterday night when you came to the room, I said an evil day has happened in the body of Christ. When it looks as if many in the body of Christ, the only things they know how to do is pray and study the Bible. They are forgetting that when we were saved, God didn't take us out of the world. He left us here. He has allowed us to go to school. He has allowed us to do businesses. Because the schooling, the business, the jobs we are doing are supposed to be opportunities for the kingdom of God to express itself. A congregation is largely a student congregation in Ogbomosho, and I say to them, I say on a campus where you have other people of other religions, your greatest proof of being a believer is not the tongues that you speak. There is a leveling ground in the school, and it is your results, right? Your results should be your greatest proof that God can help a man. Because in secondary school, I was a friend to failure, a very close friend. If we did an exam, or I remember, because I did SS1 twice, SS2 twice. I didn't repeat. I changed school and now went back. In my first SS1, I nearly was not promoted. I had to leave science class and go to art class so that I could be promoted. Because my mathematics first, this semester they used in secondary school. Okay. First term, second term, third term, when they add it together, it's supposed to be about 300. I scored 33. No, was it 33? 39. So averagely, every term I finished with 13 over 100. I got saved at age 7, but I was not serious with Jesus. So I went to commercial class and I saw that in accounting you still do maths. So in the same year I went to art class. And even though I knew all my life that I was supposed to be a doctor, I decided that now I will study law. Just to escape mathematics. So we changed school. My dad restored me back to science class because he has a missionary hospital. He's a missionary doctor. And I was managing, but mathematics looked like it was angels that wrote it. And so if angels write, human beings cannot know. After a while, he took me away from the second secondary school and I went to the third one. This new school did not have the classes that I was supposed to enter into, so I went back to SS1. But in SS1, I began a deeper relationship with Jesus. And by the end of that session, I was representing my state nationally for mathematics competition. So I know that, you see, a robust relationship with Jesus will alter your mind. There is no dull people, or there is no dull person on this side of redemption. The dull ones are the ones who do not understand that salvation takes care of those things too. Did I just wake up and say no? No. Salvation sent me a helper. She was younger than I was that time, still younger than I am. She was a year ahead of me in this new school, and she would give me 10 questions to solve every day. She was a senior girls prefect. She was in SS2, I was in SS1. So if I didn't do well, she would punish me. But I was doing 10 mathematics questions every day of the term. And by the time I got to the third term, bring your questions from anywhere. Further maths became so simple that if you met me in a competition that time nationally in secondary school, there were only two students that would scare me. One young man, I remember his name because I cried twice meeting him, Obina. He finished from FGC, I think that should be Kwali, Buja. And one young man, Jide, from Baptist Boys Academy from Abeokuta. If those two young men were not in the competition, if you met me, start crying now. Because the questions that will take you 5 minutes to solve, we solve in the air. Bam, 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 bam. And we give the answer. And the people are wondering, are they wizards? It is because there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. There's no dollar here. So if you have been struggling with your academics, the call to physical advancement is saying to you, shift, find your strengths. There is a work factor, but there is also a help factor. If you are doing business, you may need to be a little bit more creative. You will need to study more to know how this business works. There is a work factor, but there is always also a help factor. The work factor is what we do on the physical grounds. The help factor is the presence of the Holy Spirit that puts a scent, an aroma on everything that you are doing. He gives you an advantage. So physically, we must advance in our relationships. Let there not be anyone here who talks badly to people, rashly to people. And when we ask you, why do you talk like that? You say, that's the way I am. How can you be like that? I don't have too many things yet. But when I used to have 2 trousers and 3 shirts, I still combined them well. We must advance in our physical looks within the boundaries of morality. We must advance in our ability to manage finances, knowing that in the kingdom, he that is not faithful with little will not be a candidate of much. If every money that enters into your hand, you buy a wristwatch, you buy a shoe, you buy a shirt, then you will not have a future. Are you with me? You will not have a future. As little as the resources are, we must learn industry. If I have 1,000 naira, what can I do to 1,000 naira that will make it 1,100 naira? We must advance. We must think productivity. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. That's the design for physical advancement. If you are running a niche and you have only one pot, you must think of how you increase it. It's only rice they know that you can sell. If somebody else starts selling rice, you will become a prayer point. What else can I add? We will not all be governors. I frown when somebody walks into a sister's meeting and says, all of you will be governors' wives. I was in a meeting like that. And the young man came and said, I'm looking at all of you being the wives of the governor. So when I came up, I stood the minister up and asked him a question. I said, these false prophecies are wrong. How many states do we have in Nigeria? How can 1,000 young ladies be governor's wives? Is it that the governors will marry this one today? And Some others will come and look at everybody and say, the world will hear all of you. And I'm wondering, what kind of prophecy is that? Who said that the world, that everybody here was sent to the world? Some people were sent to Enugu here. And you'll be rewarded based on how you perform here. Have you seen your heart before? Have you seen your heart before? Do you want to see your heart? Have you seen your intestines before? Would you love to see them? May you not see them. What it means is that we are not all designed to be visible. Some people will be useful in hiding. So the world will not listen to everybody. But our call is to usefulness, not essentially to visibility. I have friends already preaching in Europe. I don't feel threatened. And if you call me to come to Europe tomorrow, I may even not come. Because I move only to where he sends me. It doesn't mean that I'm less relevant. Because the one who calls us has called us to geographies, to locations. And being good in that location is what gives you a reward. Are you with me? Many years ago, God gave me a fraction. He said, son, 1/1 is what? 1/1 is what? 1. 10/10 is what? Means if I give someone ability for 10 or exposure for 10, he must deliver 10. If I give him exposure for 10, he delivers 10. What did he score? 1. If I give exposure for 1 and you deliver 1, what did he score? Will be rewarded the same way. You can't envy people if all you see is the numerator. You need to check what is down. It is to whom much is given and much is required of. If God didn't give you much, he's not asking for much. So there is a call to also advance physically. Now, so that we can have the strategies, this is the core of my teaching. The Lord began to show me a certain man called Abraham, and how that Abraham's life becomes a very good template for advancement, whether it be spiritual or it be physical. Genesis chapter 12 is where we'll take our inference from, and then we go just 10 chapters after and go to Genesis chapter 22. They form the core of my teaching. I hope I can finish. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. You can come up a little higher in your sound. I'm almost getting to where I'm going. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, it's too loud, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Genesis 22, verse 1 to 3. So that I just run them together. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt there in the lexicon is the word test. Test. Or if you like, is the word prove. That God did prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Let's go on. And he said, take now thy son. Now, if your Bible is a hard copy Bible, I write in my Bible. I bought it with my money, so it's my Bible. I don't think it is a critic. Am I right? That is it okay to write in a Bible? Okay. So, you can put a line under it. Take now thy son. Thine only son. So, you can underline thy son. And also underline thy only son, Isaac. The last thing you underline is whom thou lovest. And get crept into the land of Moriah and offered him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Last verse, verse 3. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleared the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which the Lord had told him. If you look at these two portions of scripture, I trust God to be done with this in about 15-20 minutes so that we can pray. If you look at the two portions of scripture, they give us a picture of how God initiates advancement, of how man in the day that God initiates advancement is supposed to respond to advancement. In Genesis chapter 12, see, Abraham was just minding his business. The Bible commentary makes us know that Abraham was actually not a worshiper of Jehovah. It was just mercy that found him. But the finding of mercy occasioned a voice. The word of the Lord to him was, get thee out of three places. You will leave your kindred. You will leave your country. You will leave your kindred. And then you will leave your father's house. The one who wants to follow Jesus in this building will be dead to his reality as a Nigerian. I'm not saying you will not vote. All of us are voting for the same person, so relax. Yes. I was not motivated. I pray. And in the spirit, I receive that person that all of us are voting for. If you are not voting for the person you are voting for, you are wrong. Okay. So, let's go on. You will find that I can't finish this lesson. Even in this thing I want to share now, the person we are voting for will still show his face. You will see. So, this was the instruction. Get thee out. You will need to be dead to the reality of a Nigerian, because there are many realities that define the average Nigerian. He's corrupt. He's unreliable. His yes actually means a no. You will need to lose the things that make you comfortable as a Nigerian. It's a change of identity. You will get out of your kindred. That's another layer of identity. Because in the South, there's a way people do certain things in the South that they don't do that way in the East. It means you won't follow the will of the Lord as an Easterner. You won't follow as a Southerner. Are you with me? You won't say, this is my tribe, and this is how we used to do in our tribe. So it's a departure identity-wise. It's also a breakout of cultural expressions. Are all the aspects of our culture wrong? No. But there are some aspects of our culture that are anti-God. And we must be willing to break out of them in the day that we hear his voice saying, follow me. The third thing is, out of thy father's house, you will need to break out of your father's house. We are not saying change your surname. We are not saying, don't say you are still related with them. To leave your father's house means that God becomes your new source of inheritance. There will be nothing too strong in your father's house that you will hold on to. You will need to become like Abraham, seeking something in God. Those are the three calls. What it means is that nobody truly advances until he has heard from God. So the first strategy on the way to advancement is that you must find the voice of God. You can write that down. Finding the voice of God. There is no future for a man who has not heard God. No future. He will live a regular life. He will go to school, graduate, get a job, buy a car, maybe build a house or rent one, marry a wife, and he will grow old, give birth to children, then he will die, and the cycle will continue. Anyone who wants to do anything that will strike a chord in eternity must be one who has heard the voice of God, because your life really does not begin until you have heard from him. His voice comes to tell you why you are here. His voice comes to tell you where he wants you to be. His voice comes to tell you what he wants you to do. His voice comes to tell you when he wants you to do it. His voice also comes to tell you how you want to do it. And all these things that I just said are the tokens of wisdom. It means that a man cannot be said to be wise when he has not heard from God. So the question is, if indeed you are seeking advancement, have you heard from him? Because you don't have a direction in advancement if you have not heard from him. And that brings us into a place where we must pursue his voice. God can be heard, but a man must seek out his voice. I have found out that if you stay too much around men, even if you can't find the voice of God, men can speak in the similitude of the divine voice and can fix a future for you. In our city, we have the largest Baptist seminary, I think, in all of Africa. There are some of the pastors there that when you talk to them closely, you say, did God call you? You say, I don't know. But the people in our church say I used to pray very well, so they now told me that I'm a pastor. That's why they will study for 4 years and then go and sit over a church, because people came together and said, the way you are looking, you're a pastor. And you see, it can work. And I think church used to pay salary. Oh, you don't know. Church used to pay salary. It's we that are running our own ministry that we have to suffer. Amen. So it means that his family will not suffer. At least at the end of the month, there's something to expect. But you see, when darkness comes, darkness will not build its altar around salary. It will not build the altar around what it does on the pulpit. Darkness comes to challenge his call. And if he has not heard the divine summons, it means there will be nothing to present. When darkness comes and says, why are you doing what you are doing? We say that, some people say that, this is what I'm supposed to do. Many times in my little few years, it will be 10 years for this ministry in February next year. Many times when people came to me physically, challenged me with charms and all of those things under themselves, and they threatened me to stop what I'm doing, saying you could pray too much, you are disturbing what you are doing, we will kill you, we will send you out of town. My answer has become one answer in the last 7 years. He sent me. That's all. So when they threatened me, and I say, you think I just came to this town? God sent me. And because he sent me, your people will not be breathing in 7 days. If you are still alive by day 7, we will close down this church and I will not do ministry again. The confidence is that there was a call. If I not be to ministry, the business that you are doing, who called you to it? Because people in business don't believe that their business is a calling. My daddy taught me that medical practice for him is his calling. And that he will stand before Jesus to defend his role as a doctor, just like his pastor would defend his own as a pastor. So he treats his patients with care, knowing that he will give an account for everyone that he treats. A teacher should feel like that too. That teaching is a calling, not from men, but from God. And that I will defend it one day. Amen. We must find the voice of God. If you have been listening to me, I've shared my story of how I found the path of ministry. Because I wanted medicine. And after a while, the Lord said engineering. Okay, which of the engineering is chemical? So I stayed there. But one day in SS2, somebody say SS2. I was going through my motions, my devotion, personal devotion, and the Lord said, I have a future for you. I said, what is it? He said, I won't tell you. In our hostel area, the school owns a fish pond. Once in a while, they harvest the catfish and they feed us from it. He said, you see that fish pond area is quiet. I said, yes. He said, meet me every night from 12 to 3. If you pray long enough, I will tell you your future. I was in SS2. I could not speak in tongues. I was not speaking in tongues. All of us can, but not all of us are. Because it's a sign of believing. Abi? we shall speak, they shall speak in new tongues. So if you have believed, you can, but not all of us are. Just like they shall also cast out devils. All of us can, but it's not everybody that has cast out devils. Good. So I obeyed. I became obedient. You see, the name has come. Good. So I obeyed, and I will go to the fish pond area. There's quite some land there, and I begin to pray. I prayed for 3 hours in English. And it's difficult to pray for 3 hours in English. Especially if you are not owing money or you are not sick nigh unto death. Even if you write 100 prayer points, you can read your 100 prayer points in less than 30 minutes. God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, point one. And God, help me to pass physics. In Jesus' name. You will find out that there's, you need to be burdened. So I will need to stay there. And for the first few days, I was looking for the things that I could pray for. I must just clock 3 hours. By day four, I stopped having prayer points. I'll just come. You told me to come, you tell me about my future. Now tell me. And instead of my future, he will bring a body. See, there's witchcraft in the campus. Second, this one. Begin to pray against it. And then I begin to pray. Lord, let the altars of witchcraft. There are even some things that will come out of my mouth in prayers that I didn't know existed. Because it was that time I knew that witchcraft is powered from altars. That there's something called a coven. In prayers, regular trees will stop being regular trees to be all those witchcraft trees. And that's how I used to pray. I thought he was going to come back by day six and say, I've been faithful. But he didn't talk to me again. I needed to keep coming. Until about 5 months into the prayer, I was praying every day like that. That night, the subject of prayer was witchcraft. So I began to curse witchcraft and all of that. And then it was Nepal at that time. They took the power supply. And so everywhere became black. I was afraid. I thought the witches had come to attack me. All of a sudden, I saw a young man coming with a rechargeable lamp. He was one of the most notorious boys in our school. He was like a boy that God could not speak to. He dropped the lamp and went back to sleep. And I walked up to him in the morning. He said, God woke him up. I said, God. He said, yes. That God woke him up and told him that I was afraid. So he should bring the lamp and drop it so that I could see. That was my first proof after that first day, 5 months after, that God was still involved in the prayer. Because he didn't say anything to me. So I stayed again. And continued praying, and continued praying, and continued praying. When I clocked 9 months and 5 days, as I was going back after 3 a.m., now I had lost touch with looking for purpose and destiny. I just loved prayers. He said to me, he said, don't come tomorrow. I will show you a dream, and I will reveal your future. Ah, I felt it was the devil. I love this thing. So I slept like I used to sleep. I'll sleep at 11, set my alarm for 5 minutes to 12, and I'll be up to wake up. I had clocked, you know, crossed into SS3 now. And that night, my alarm sounded, but I could not hear it. I woke up at 5 a.m., but I woke up with a dream. In that dream, I was taken on a guided tour of heaven, and it was 7 days in heaven, a Monday to a Sunday. In that one dream, I had lessons on discernment. I had lessons on accurate sounds. I had lessons on the kingdom one night. I had lessons on, you know, brotherly love, how not to treat people, how to treat people. Everything I had in that dream, if you sit with me, I will tell you everything word for word because it was imprinted in my heart. On day six, I had an installation. It was like a software. If you walk to the construction site before, there's something that is called a plumb line. It's used to measure the straightness of a building. Something like that was installed in my heart. That you might be preaching well, but my spirit can pick even now, if it's God that is speaking. So it was a measuring tool of accuracy that was installed. On the last day, it was a Sunday morning in the dream. I came to church. It was a large church. I saw that the church was empty. And it was a Sunday morning. In that dream, I was accompanied by one who introduced himself as the Lord and two angels. One was white, one was black. Now, don't go about saying that they are black angels. I believe that the angel was black because of the emphasis of my calling. My calling is essentially African. So the angel must have been colored that way in my dream, because that would be the only way I can understand there are no black angels. Amen. No. I've cleared myself. It's no black angel. But it was for emphasis. When we got into the church, we saw that the church was empty. So I asked the Lord, I said, why? And quickly he took me to the book of John. We were in John chapter 4. The narrative of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And the Lord said to me, did you not know that scripture said that the Father seeketh for such who will worship him in spirit and in truth? What does seeking mean? I mean not readily available. He said yes. He said, so when I come to church on Sunday, my attendance is different from the church attendance. Anybody who does not show up in spirit and in truth did not come for that service. So it was an empty church. These were the words he said to me. He said, now go back. Teach my church the patterns of true worship. Raise me a fairy and I come quickly. And I woke up. So our ministry is called His Worship Christian Network. That's where I got the name from. Everything I currently do in ministry was from that one night dream. I had that dream 8th of June 2000. That's year 2000. I was in SST. And for my last, how many years now? For my last 22 years, I have lived pursuing that dream. There is always a call. How much time do I have? 15. Okay. It's fine. Don't worry. Don't worry. I still have that other session and I have one session. I spent my life, I said, pursuing that dream. My advancement was at the mercy of a call that I obeyed. Everyone that will advance will need to trust God for their ears to be open. And glory to Jesus. If you register as His sheep, it means you can hear Him. Because Jesus, speaking to His disciples, that should be John 10. Give me John 10, 27. John 10, 27. That should be John 10, 27. Is it 27, 28? Give me 27. Who is helping us? 27. Not 7. 27. 27. 27. All right, with Jesus. All right. Okay. John chapter 10, verse 27. Okay, if anybody has seen, can they read? Can they read it? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It means everyone that is His sheep, everyone for whom He is a shepherd, hear His voice. He said, and I know them and they follow me. So finding the voice of the Lord in the day that He says it's time to advance is not difficult, because we were gifted ears that can hear Him. The enemy is not as strong when a man has heard God. It's like a software. It begins to drive your life. You don't want to do any other thing except obey Him. So the first key in that strategy layout into advancing is that you must hear His voice. And if you have not heard it readily, you must pay the price for hearing. I teach that people should pray extended prayers. People come to me and say, sir, I want to know my purpose. I say, it's good to know your purpose. If God says He wants to tell you, it's good to know it. If God doesn't want to tell you, just obey Him every day. You will still fulfill purpose. Are you with me? I'm saying that so that you don't idolize looking for purpose. Your call is to follow Jesus. It's not to follow your purpose. But if Jesus says, I want to tell you what you will, good, go after him and stay there until he tells you. That's what that my example taught. There are things I have not learned. I have not learned the Bible formally. Like go to Bible school. Are you with me? But when he said ministry, I said seminary. He said not you. How will I know the scriptures? I will teach you. What will I begin to do? Begin to study and begin to fast. Because if you go to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8, you will find out that one of the byproducts of fasting is that your light will break out. So I began to fast and study. Fast and study. When I mean study, I self-studied Greek. I self-studied Hebrew. I have a compilation of Bible commentaries, emuletics, exegesis, like I'm in a seminary. That's how I studied. And I began to fast. I broke my fast after 15 years and 8 months. I was eating only 1 meal every night, 1 meal every night, 1 meal every night. Because he told me that that is the way I will be able to unlock scriptures. Until he said, for 4 days I give you back 2 meals every day. So now I maintain revelation still by fasting and study. There is a cost to find his voice because there's noise around us. Some of us will need to pay the price of solitude. That sometimes during the year, your retreat, I don't know why people go on retreat. Because people go on retreat and they think that retreat is essentially prayer. The word retreat is not a civilian term, it's a military term. And when people go for retreat, it's because they found out that their strategy in warfare is not working. In retreat, we go with a Bible and a pen. We pray less, we listen more. That's what they do in retreats. You want your commander to give you new instructions. So you pray, maybe 3-4 hours, you sit down for 8 hours. You don't watch films on a retreat. No, I don't know. People are in retreat and they are still watching movies. The reason why we fast on retreat is that we don't want food to disturb our reception. We isolate. If you go to an accurate retreat center, it's a place of no convenience. In most places, they don't even have TVs. So you are not tempted. The network there is very bad. So that nobody is calling you. If you hear any call at all, it's gone. So help me whisper to your neighbor again. Find the voice of the Lord. The second point on this list of strategies, there are just 4 of them, is obey his voice. Obey his voice. We saw Abraham do that twice in Genesis 12, in Genesis 22, when he heard he left. When he heard he left. Get thee out. He got out. Take your son, your only son Isaac. The one that you love. And the Bible says in verse 3 that early the following morning he left. He didn't hold a meeting with Sarah. Imagine this boy that they waited for 25 years. And God says, go and offer him as a sacrifice. If he discussed with Sarah, do you think Isaac will leave that house? Sarah will say, Oga, if you want to kill any son, it's Ishmael. The one that your error brought. That's why God had to emphasize your only son. The one that you love. God even added the name Isaac. Because if I were Abraham, the easiest way to solve the problem in my house is to sacrifice Ishmael. The boy has been causing trouble before. Obedience. And it must be total. Not any son, but this one. Not any place, but this place. Amen. Delayed obedience is disobedience. If God says, do it now, do it now. It may look as though there's an obstacle, but it has to be done. Amen. So beg him and promptly. That's the third thing. I'm rushing now. The fourth thing on the strategy is that the one who seeks to advance must begin to think the new place. Your words, or first your thoughts, then your words, and then your actions must project the new place. If God tells you are going to have a car tomorrow, and you have cement left in your house, you should not be building a dog kennel. What should you be building? A car garage. If God says you'll be a businessman tomorrow and you want to buy books, you should not be buying 50 things you must know before you say, I do. Are you with me? Your books must be geared at where you are going. If God says that you are going to be a pastor, if you have the opportunity to buy 3 trousers, you shouldn't buy a crazy gym. If I came here this night and I wore a crazy gym, you know, you will manage me. But you'll be thinking, maybe some people saw me talking like this. You say, does a pastor dress like that? No, I just like to be seen. The average pastor is very complicated in dressing. He looks too different from the people. And Jesus was not that different, you know. It's because I minister among students. Many times, this is the best my students wear. So, let me look like them. Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I just love it like that. But what I'm saying is, your utterance must show that you're going somewhere. Your thoughts must show that you're going somewhere. Your actions must show that you're going somewhere. Some people are so divorced from the reality of their future that there's nothing in their now that looks like where they are going to. Nothing. No preparation. The proof that you are preparing is that progressively your life, your words, your thoughts will begin to sound like where you are going. That's the proof of preparation. If you meet a student who is preparing for JAM, for example, when he stands beside you, he can be rehearsing the thing he's cracked. When you meet a choir member who is preparing to minister on Sunday, the songs they are listening to will likely be the songs that they will sing tomorrow. Am I right? So the one who is preparing for a new place in God must actually start building their lives in that direction. Think that direction. Speak that direction. Act that direction. I don't know by providence, but since I was 10, every major birthday gift I had was a Bible. I don't know. 10, 21, 25. All of them were key Bibles. Thompson's Chain Reference Bible, Life Application Bible. When the 10-year-old boys were buying football and clothes, I said, no, a Bible. I didn't know it was going to be ministry. Definitely by 21 I had found that, but I made sure that every opportunity was a major gift. The last Bible that I'm looking for to fill my cupboard now is expensive. There's a study Bible that Watchmani wrote. It's called the Recovery Bible. About 3 years ago, when I was speaking to my spiritual father, he has one. He now said, I told him I'll get it for you, but he didn't. He forgot. The person I was talking to about my Lagos meeting called, I think, a few days ago, and said, Tolu, do you have this Bible? I said, no. He said, I have 2. And your name just dropped in my heart. I said, okay. I have the last article in my Bible library. Take it. Speak it. And act it. How did I learn to preach? After secondary school, I would stand at facing an uncompleted building behind our house, and that's how I went chapter after chapter in scriptures. My mom started crying one day when she saw me, because I was very serious about it. I said, okay, so you're welcome to church today. We will continue from where we stopped. Isaiah chapter 4, and I will read, and based on the understanding that I currently have, I will share it with the bushes. So she got very bothered, but my dad was like Mary. You know, the Bible said Mary kept those things in her heart. He knew that something was for me. That's how I learned. That's how I learned. The final thing is what the demand that God placed on Abraham. Every advancement will come at a price. And so the one who wants to advance must be sacrificial. My summary for this teaching is Abraham, the sheep, because he could hear. Abraham, the obedient, because he obeyed. Three was Abraham, the visionary, because he could visualize direction. He could visualize possibilities. Finally, you have Abraham, the sacrificial. The one who wants to advance must run a list of the things that they have, because the price of the future is most times what you love most as the price of the future. I know somebody's afraid, but for me, I found out that if God places a demand on you for a sacrifice, He will provide it. Currently in Ogbomoso, today is day 33, I guess. We've been laboring for the nation. We pray 5 hours every day for Nigeria. It's a 40-day period. So we do 2 hours, 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 in the morning. And then we come back to do 4:30 to 7:30. So we're just about rounding up for this evening. When we got to about day 5, we found out that somebody was kidnapped at the borders of our town. We prayed. We got a witness that they were going to be found. They were released, but they were eventually killed. So 3 of them were killed. And then people started sending me messages. Reverend, it looks as if your town is under attack and all of that. And I knew our town is under attack. We are the first southwest town after the north. So that night I was praying, and the Lord said, son, your prayers will work, but because of the urgency, you need a sacrifice. I said, what? And God named an amount of money that if I put everything we had together in house, we will not have it that night. And He said, it is urgent. You must give it before money, until this thing that happened in one place becomes a general place. He told me the direction the money was supposed to go to, but I didn't have it. When we got out of church and I was driving home, my wife said, because immediately God told me on the altar, announced it. She said, don't contribute to God. Said, I must give that money before daybreak. My wife said, that thing that you said, I said, don't even let me mention the amount, because you know we don't have it. But she didn't sound bothered. So I asked her, I said, you are not bothered. She said, is it not you? Before we drove into the house, an alert came. It was from the UK. That alert was 5 times what I needed to give before money. Because immediately God told me, give it. In my heart, it had been given. I knew whatever came in that night was going to go in that direction. When I was in the plane yesterday, I wrote down new things. Because God said, there is a new place I am taking you to. And this is the human price that we pay. Even in the order of our services in Ogbomoso, I sent fresh instructions this morning. Change this, change this, change that. Because there is a new place and there is a price to pay for it. If you are not currently paying any price in resources, in time, then you will not be going anywhere. Everybody must have a price they are paying. Abraham's next level was his son. You will also have a next level. The one who is transiting, who is advancing, must have their ears open when there's an opportunity to give a sacrifice. if nothing dies, nothing new will live. And so people who want newness, they go around looking for what can die so that they can live again. That's how they survive. In 2020, I picked up a burden for Lagos, and it was 70 days of fasting and praying that blood will not flow in Lagos. I started in June, and at the end of the 70 days, I found out that blood was still flowing in my visions. So I stayed, continued praying. On the 1st of October 2020, I was invited for 4 intercessory meetings in Lagos. Intercessors had now picked what I picked. I could only do 2 because I had become so feeble. I had to rush back home on the 2nd of October, got to the hospital on the 3rd of October, and they quickly administered injections because they felt I was dying. Unfortunately, the fluid in my body was very low. So those 2 injections forced reactions on my heart, and my heart stopped breathing. So the hospital said I was dead for 8 hours. My labor was that Lagos will not bleed. We were just 2 weeks to the birth of our first child. So when I opened my eyes after 8 minutes, I saw my wife all over me screaming Jesus. And I looked at her and said, what happened? She said, you were dead, because you were already dragging her away. You know, in the hospital, they say they pack people. So they were already putting my hands and all of that. So I now laughed. I said, I already told you I will not die on the hospital table. Why were you worried? I got up from the hospital table. I drove her back home. And I've lived since then. But on the 20th of October 2020, Lagos bled. You remember? That was the night of the Lekki massacre. But what we saw in our dreams, this nation will not have recovered from. Every evil that is averted because somebody paid a price. Can I say this to us? The church must begin to teach again the art of sacrifice. It's an ancient mystery. The people that were fighting spiritually killed their children to be strong. Are you with me? So if you can't kill your children, but if you have nothing to lay on the altar, then it means that they will prevail. We need to pray. But there's a story that used to strike my heart in scriptures. I think it should be 2 Kings or so. It was 2 Kings chapter 3. It was a story of a particular king who was under the servitude of the king of Israel, King Meses of Moab. And when the old king of Israel died, the Bible said this king decided to rebel against the king of Israel. He was a merchant of wool. And so he stopped sending wool. And then the king of Israel, the king of Edom, and the king of Judah, that was Jehoshaphat, warred against him. So it was 3 kings that were going to waste him. These kings will have gotten into trouble because according to scriptures, they got to a place where there was no water. You know the story. And the Bible says they approached unto Elisha. Now a prophet like Elisha gave them a solution. Bring me a minstrel, he said. And then he prophesied, dig ditches into the valley. You will not see the wind, you will not see the rain, but the valley shall be filled. And water came, and they had water. Oh, so they attacked this king. My time is up, sure. Less than 10 minutes. It's still good. It's still good. Don't worry. I'll fly the prayers very well tomorrow. I'm done. It was a prophet that prophesied their survival, a prophet that prophesied their victory, and was a prophet with the ranking of Elisha. The Bible said they began to fight against the king. He took 800 men with him, but those 800 men were not strong enough to be able to defend him. The king saw that he was going to be wasted, not because this threefold army was strong, but there was a prophetic utterance that ensured their victory. The Bible said he rushed, took his firstborn, and sacrificed his son. The Bible said immediately the battle turned. It means that you can even undo a prophetic utterance that is against you by the strength of a sacrifice. Bible said the indignation rose up in Israel and they turned back and went their way. His security was not strength. His security was that he knew what to touch in the spirit to make things go his way. It could be that it is because we are casual with ourselves. That's why it looks as if we are opposed and we can't yield to advance. Four things tonight. One is find the voice of God. Two, obey the voice. Three, think the future. Speak the future. Act the future. Rehearse it. Four, is that you must live by sacrifice. We want to pray. I went this way to emphasize that the enemy opposing our advancement is not as strong as our reluctance in paying the price for advancement. I don't know which of these four things are lacking tonight, but we want to ask the Lord. Father, cause me to hear your voice. Somebody has heard. He's saying, Lord, cause me to obey you. Another person is saying, Lord, I have obeyed, but I forgot that as a man thinketh, so he is. Help me think the future. Help me speak the future. Help me act the future. Another man is saying, Lord, name a price. Name a price. I have heard my next plane of expression. I have heard the call to advance, but name the cost. Help me pay it. It may be time in prayers. It may be time in study. It may be seasons of fasting. But there is always a price that makes the call of advancement true. And we are saying tonight, Lord, help me. Break the inhibition. Let me forge ahead like you have spoken. Can I hear the sounds of prayer? Oh, Jesus. Help me to align with the demands, because in this season there will be a performance of that which you have spoken. You have summoned my advancement, and advance I will against the strength of the enemy, against the obstacles that lie on my path. I by you will break through troops. I by you will scale every wall that stands in front of me. Just speak. Let me hear your voice. And let me hear with clarity. Let me know what to do. Let me know where to go. Let me know how to go. Let me know when to go. Oh, like Moses. Can you tell me in whose company I will approach unto the future? I will obey. Oh, Basabo Sailata Bahayata. If you have battled with the spirits that make disobedient, can you ask him tonight that the Lord will break the circle? Let the circles of disobedience be broken and embrace your instructions. I will live by your word. Bakakolia sata kobarades. Seta monta bande kapada. Mankabre sezuka kaila. Batomindo sata bamote. I will live by it. I will live by it. Oh. Sata bakobarada kabahagado. Dekakaka montate jande sokaides.
Ekando Sisala Katamra di Kemedote, Ekambo Sanonda Nasaye, Akombe la Kesanto Mamakaba Nego Santo Kadaya, Ababe Makande Babasa Tabata Kavila Makabo, Ekombe Seseba, Ekasata Lenda Kababata Katolia, Ataka Babi Kababa Kababa Moshete, Ekisa Masotato, Erataba Kombe Same Altaba, Makababa. And the Kobanta Restava Baba, man of expression. Yes, the kingdom profits more for my life. I grow into the stature of the Christ. I develop in the things of the Spirit. I am supplied by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And so, Father, for this session, we thank you. It is your will that we break camp and we move forward. Tonight we ask that the energies that cause to advance will rest upon us. We will advance in the name of Jesus. There is a call on many grounds and many fronts to take responsibility. And tonight we yield. Lord, we yield. We yield to hear. Every instruction that has been forgotten because of disobedience by sin be recovered. Let every dream that was shown that has been forgotten by mercy, I ask, let them be reoccasioned. Let every door of opportunity that was not entered into because of fear, because of disobedience, be recovered by mercy in the name of Jesus. Lord, this time we obey. This time we obey. This time we will think, we will align our thoughts with your pictures. And this time, Lord, every call to sacrifice because of the future will be healed. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed.